You'd think that as a video game podcaster and comedian, my life is all fun and games. And honestly, you'd be right. About 90% of the time, it's pretty sweet. But every morning, I deal with something very, very serious. My face. You don't become an Edmonton Six overnight. It takes work. And in my case, it takes good facial hair. And fortunately, I have a great facial hair tag team partner in Harry's. Hit up harrys.com/RTG for a $3 trial set and see what I'm talking about. Harry saw the tire fire that the shaving market had become and asked, how did it get like this? Crappy plastic razors, overpriced blades, all locked up like gold bars. And they said, no, we can fix this. And damn it, they did. Harry's ships premium quality razors right to your door. About once a month, I check my mail and there's that little box with everything I need to keep my kid presentable status. The blades stay sharp longer, which means an easier time getting my face in order in the morning. And the razors don't look like a dumb piece of plastic that a junior high schooler uses to take care of their peach fuzz. You have the facial hair of a man now. Shave like one. I actually leave my razor handle on the bathroom counter all the time just because it looks so damn classy. Harry's blades are German engineered and they're made to last. They're the best blades on the market for the best price, and you don't even have to go out to get them. Set your delivery schedule and shave like a king. I know it sounds sarcastic, but I'm being serious. I've used Harry's forever. These blades are really freaking good. Highest reviews in the industry, a money back guarantee that you're not going to need, and a subscription that you can cancel anytime you want. Getting ripped off isn't funny. Switch to Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/RTG. That's harrys.com/RTG for a $3 trial set. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Remember the Game, my retro gaming podcast, where every week a buddy of mine and I sit down and geek out about the games we played back in the day. My name is Adam Blank. Thank you guys so much for listening. This week, episode 60, we're going to do something a little different. We're going to go with one of our conversational episodes. It's like two nerds on the playground like the other ones, but instead of talking about a specific game, we're just talking about gaming in general. And this week, we're talking game collecting. I'll get you guys in on the details here. I am not a current game collector, but I am a recovering game collector. And so is my guest this week, Patrick, returning to the show. This is something I've wanted to talk about for a while. I could talk about game collecting forever. So we're going to give it a shot this week and just talk about the ups and downs and what it was like and advice for new collectors and stuff like that. So hopefully you guys enjoy this. I'm very curious to know your feedback on this, good or bad, if you like it, if you don't like it. We have done a couple conversation episodes in the past. Episode 17 of the show was all about whether or not we want a Nintendo 64 Classic and what could possibly be on that. And when we recorded that, there was like all these rumors around that it was like going to get announced any day. And that was like almost a year ago, and it still hasn't been announced. So, and then episode 24, we talked about the console wars of the 16-bit era. We did just a straight up Sega versus Nintendo. My buddy Miklos is a Sega kid. I'm a Nintendo kid, and we talked about what life was like on either side of the trenches back in those days. So, we're gonna talk game collecting today. We're gonna have a few more of these episodes coming up, not every week or anything. I'm thinking once every month, 2 months, once in a while. Because quite frankly, and I've talked about this on the show before, I only have so many games. You know, there's like, I mean, like, listen, I know for a fact that there's hundreds and hundreds and thousands of games out there, but there's only so many games that anybody can relate to. You know, I played a ton of Dennis the Menace on the Super Nintendo because that was one of the games I got for Christmas one year because it was cheap. And I can do an episode on fucking Dennis the Menace on the Super Nintendo if you guys want, but I don't think anyone wants to listen to that. So this is something I'm going to be doing once in a while. Conversations. I'm looking for more ideas. If you guys have any, let me know. If you're interested, if you enjoy the episode, if you don't enjoy the episode, please let me know. I really I'm trying to make this the best possible show for you guys that I can. And so I'm curious in your feedback, okay? And having said that, if you guys have questions or topics, speaking of making episodes for you guys, your next Patreon episode will be going live next week. I'm trying to think of what day it is compared to the day that I'm recording this. I'm recording this on Monday the 19th, Monday the 26th, a week today. Your second Patreon episode will be going live. That'll be the rambling Q&A one. And I only have a few questions submitted for that one so far. So if you don't have anything to ask, don't worry about it. Don't force yourself. But if you have any questions, if you've got topics you want me to talk about, if you just want something you want me to say or plug for you, I'll do it. I am a complete shill to the people. Submit them, you guys. And you can submit them numerous ways. We've done this 100 times. You can do it on Twitter or Instagram at MemberTheGame. Just like Remember, but it's just Member. There's no RE at the front. MemberTheGame. I try to reply to everyone that sends them to me there. I follow everybody back, or at least I try to. If I haven't followed you and you followed me, message me and I'll follow you, okay? You can submit them on Facebook, facebook.com/rememberthegame, or you can submit them on your Patreon feed. There's ways to communicate with me via that as well. I try to get to every single one. Last month I had like 15 questions. I answered every single one. So if you've got any questions, any ideas you want me to just mention my opinion, you don't have to be about video games. Is anything you want. That's your time to submit them. You guys paid for the episode. I want you to get what you paid for. Let me know anything, all right? I'll talk about anything you want. I am not a shy man. What else have I got going on here? I'm looking through my list of shit to ramble about. Last week, I mentioned submitting to the Edmonton Expo to do a live panel there, a live recording. I have submitted. I decided to bite the bullet and submit a panel request. I have no idea if I'm going to get it. I'm kind of not expecting to, but we'll see. I'll keep you guys posted on that. If you are planning to attend the Edmonton Expo, let me know. I'm thinking about going anyways, and just printing off cards and maybe getting a t-shirt made and just passing out my card to people and saying, hey, check out my retro gaming show if you're interested in the retro game, and just completely selling out. But it would be so cool to get to record a live podcast there. So I have submitted to it. For anyone that's wondering, I've had a couple people ask me. If it comes through, you guys will be the first one to know. I'll be posting about it on all my social media and all that good stuff. So keep your eye out there. Also, I know I say it every time it happens, which is quite a bit, but our download numbers are up again. I'm literally looking at it on my computer here right now. It's refreshing. As I refresh this, fuck, my Wi-Fi upstairs sucks. there we go. As I refresh this, my downloads are up 39% over 2 weeks ago, like from 2 weeks ago to this 2 weeks. I have no idea where all these downloads have come from. We're at like almost 20% of my entire lifespan of the podcast's downloads have come in the last 30 days. We're over 2,000 downloads. I think we're creeping up on 3,000 downloads in the last 3.5 weeks. So I have no idea where it's coming from, but thank you all so, so much. I just found out that if I click on something here on the Podbean dashboard, I can see what episodes are getting downloaded every day. And one of the things that's really cool is, I don't remember if I mentioned this last week or not. I just found this out a few days ago. One of the things that's really cool is I see these spikes of downloads, but it's not all the current episode. Every single day I can see like certain old episodes have been downloaded like three times, two times, one. And what that means is new people are discovering the show and then digging back through the catalog and finding games and stuff that they're interested in. So if that's you and you're listening to this and you recently just jumped upon the Remember the Game bandwagon, welcome aboard and thank you so, so much. And I have to plug it, guys, because I haven't done a real good plug in a while. I would really appreciate it if you guys listening to this, consider our Patreon. It's patreon.com/rememberthegame. I do my absolute best to give you your most value for your buck. It's $2 a month is all that takes. And you're going to get two bonus episodes. One of them is the Q&A rambling one where I'll say whatever you want and answer whatever you want. And the other one is about a current game. Currently in the archives, we have one about Cuphead and we have one about Octopath Traveler. The Messenger is going to be coming next month. I'm going to build a nice little catalog of those there. Those are exclusively for you guys, okay? So $2 a month gets you two extra episodes of the show. It's also going to get you a shout out on one episode of the show every month. And I give away a prize every month to one of my Patreons. And honestly, right now I have 22 Patreons at varying amounts of money. So they have different amounts of entries into the draw. But you've got like a 1 in like 90 chance or something like that, which may not sound like much. Or no, it's not 1 in 90 because it's like 1 in 22 people. There's like 90 different entries. So you have about a 1 in 20 shot at winning a prize. And like 2 months ago, it was a $20 gift card for the console of your choice. The winner went with an Xbox gift card. And then this month, we gave away a Sega Genesis Classic. I would really love to give away a big prize toward Christmas. And listen, if you guys are already subscribed on there, thank you so much. It's just like staying where it was. And I see my downloads are going up like crazy, but the Patreon isn't. And that's totally cool. I've said it many times. This podcast is free. It will always be free. You can just enjoy your episode every week. But if you want the bonus episodes, the shout outs, and an entry to win prizes, $2 a month. Just please consider it is all I ask. Patreon.com/rememberthegame. Okay. See there, I'm a good salesman. I can do that kind of stuff. I've been playing a lot of video games with my nephew the last week or so. He's been in my house. He guest introed it with me last week. He's downstairs playing video games. He's downstairs playing video games right now, but he's hanging out at my house for a couple of weeks. And it's been a fucking blast playing video games with him. It's really fun to have someone to play games. Like, I've got buddies that are gamers. They come on the show all the time. You guys know some of them. Chris, Mark, McHugh, Tyler, Andre, David, Patrick. You guys know all the regulars on the show here. If I forgot somebody in there, please don't yell at me. I'm sorry. But I don't have anyone that lives with me. And it's been really cool having Ben here. We've been playing, we sit up late at night and play Tetris 99 together. Which, if you don't know, online Battle Royale Tetris on the Switch. And you can't actually join each other's room necessarily, but if you sit together and you both hit start at the same time, more often than not, you'll get dropped into the same game. So we've been playing Tetris 99 together. We actually had a game the other night where we were the final two out of 99 players. I beat him. Thank you very much. And I sent it to a few of my buddies, and they were like, oh, you couldn't just let him win, eh? And I was like, fuck no, not with Tetris 99. I go for the jugular in Tetris 99. But we've been playing that. We've been playing Fire Emblem together. We've been playing, well, not together, but he's learning about it. That's what he's down there playing right now. We've been playing Mario Party, Super Mario Party for the Switch, which I'll tell you guys is actually pretty good. You know, I didn't buy it off the hop because, frankly, without people to play it with in your house, it sucks. That's just Mario Party. We all know playing Mario Party against the computer is fucking garbage. And classic Nintendo with their shitty online didn't give you a way to just play it online with your friends and play a full game. So I don't know if I'd recommend buying it if you don't have two or three people in your house to play it with. But having sat around this past weekend and played it with my nephew and my girlfriend, it was fucking killer, man. And it was like very old school Mario Party. You know, I didn't care too much for the Wii U one. I thought it kind of sucked. But this one is a throwback to the series, and I love some old-school Mario Party. So it's just been fun. I missed playing couch co-op with people. You know, playing online is cool. You don't have to go anywhere. You can sit on your couch, or you can sit by yourself on the couch in your underwear if you want. But there's just something about, you know, like, we all know, like, anyone listening to this, 90% of you are old people like me that played the games back in the day. There's something about playing Super Nintendo or GameCube, Nintendo 64, PlayStation, what have you, with your buddies. Just fucking Halo. Like, how many of you played Halo with your friends back in the day on the Xbox and Halo 2? And, God, good times. I just miss couch co-op. Another thing that's fascinated me is I like talking games with him because he's 13 and I'm 35. So there's a 22-year gap there. And so we've got very different opinions on certain games and on the industry and stuff. And as I've talked about on here many times, I have shifted toward primarily a digital game collection. That's just how I prefer it, particularly because I have a Switch and I go on the road a lot. I just download my stuff. It's all on my Switch. I take it with me and I'm good to go. Ben still prefers physical. We've gone to EB Games a couple of times because there's no EB Games where he's from in his hometown. So we've gone. He likes to look. He loves having the cases in his hands and stuff like that. And I read that a lot, like in the Reddit forums and stuff, people talking about how they prefer physical games to their digital ones. And that's just very interesting to me because for a while I felt like that, hence why I used to be a game collector. There is going to be a half-ass segue out of this. Now I have no space. I find it more convenient to just be able to download the game, download it prior to its release date if it's a brand new one, and then I just have it. I find that there's better sales a lot of the time on digital games than there is going physical, you know. The only real regret I have about going digital with my games is that I can't trade them in when I get sick of them. But a lot of the time I trade games in when I get sick of them and then I regret it and have to go rebuy it eventually anyway. So I'd rather just have it digital. It's always there. I can't get rid of it. So I don't know. That's just his opinion. I'm curious where you guys come out on that, if you prefer digital or physical. We tried recording that as a conversation on the show here once, actually. Excuse me. And the file got corrupted. And you guys, it's one of the long lost episodes of Remember the Game. But we'll probably attempt that again down the road, a digital versus physical episode. So it's been fun gaming with them. We're going to be recording a couple Let's Plays here together in the next couple of days, I think, too. So that'll be going up on the YouTube channel. Which I didn't plug with all the other social media, youtube.com/rememberthegame. I try to subscribe back to everyone's channels and stuff like that. So check us out there. Let's Plays, game reviews. I'm still dragging my feet on another review. They don't get a ton of views, and they're a mountain of work. And I'm going into my busiest season of the year as a comedian. I'm trying to keep this podcast up to snuff. And the reviews are coming. They're trickling out because they're just the bottom of the priority ladder. That's all. But Let's Plays are coming. Speaking of Let's Plays, what have I been playing over the last 7 days? Fire Emblem. Fire Emblem, Fire Emblem, Fire Emblem. Three houses. I'm about 60 hours into my playthrough. I haven't quite finished it. I'm pretty sure I'm close to the end. I started over. I've already talked about this, but in case you're new or haven't listened to the last couple episodes, I was about 15 hours into the game and I was playing it on the easier setting and then was like, this is too easy, and kicked it up to hard. Now I'm almost done. If I have one criticism of the game, and it's the same criticism I had 6 or 7 days ago whenever it was the last episode of this went live, it's too easy. That's my only beef. And it's getting a little harder near the end, but I still, like, I've played a couple other Fire Emblems, like Fire Emblem Awakening, and that one also wasn't the most vicious game, but it was harder than this. Like, this game is easy. I was playing Wargroove on my Switch, which is another tactical, like, strategy game before I shifted over to Fire Emblem, and Wargroove was fucking vicious. Like, that game hurt your heart. This game is as forgiving as any game I've played in a long time, but it's still phenomenal. And the storyline is so good that as soon as I'm finished, I'm probably going to hop back in and play it as a different character because I want to see one of, you have to join one of these three houses with these three different characters running them. And I want to see what happens if I play through as a different house because the storyline has been so good. So just phenomenal. Nintendo, everybody involved, you guys fucking killed it. It is my game of the year by a mile right now, although I still have the Link's Awakening remake and Pokemon Sword and Shield coming out, so we'll see if one of those can knock it off its perch. But I am fucking so addicted to Fire Emblem. Like I said, I've also been playing Tetris 99 with Ben because it's the best Tetris ever made. It just is. And I've hopped back into my Paper Mario 1000 Year Door playthrough because I'm planning to record an episode of the show about that game in the next few weeks, and I wanted to get as much of it completed before we did the podcast as we could. I don't think I'm gonna have time to finish it, but goddamn, that game is charming. I don't know if you guys have seen it, but there's like a petition floating around online for an HD remake on the Switch of Thousand Year Door, and like, yeah, fuck yeah, there should be, because that game is so so good, just so charming. Bring back Paper Mario, and not the Wii one. That game sucked. Just the good Paper Marios. Okay, we're at 15 minutes. I've talked enough. We're going to talk game collecting this week, you guys. Like I said, a little bit different, just a conversation between me and another geek. I hope you guys enjoy it. My pal Patrick is here. I am a former game collector, as is Patrick. I could talk about game collecting for days. I definitely want to do more collecting specific episodes. So go back and check out our other conversation ones. Like I said, episode 17, episode 24, if you're interested. Let me know what you think of this one. And if you'd be interested in like specific console collecting or specific specific publishers, specific genres, whatever. If you're interested in collecting stuff and collecting episodes, let me know, because I would really like to do more of them. I would like to get some experts on here that know more about it than I do, just to talk collecting. It fascinates the shit out of me. I would love to get back into it, but I have no money or space. So I have to stick to digital stuff. But anyway, I hope you guys enjoy this week's episode. I like looking at your collections too. I meant to say that. So send them to me on Twitter, Instagram. I'll retweet them. I'll do all that kind of stuff. @rememberthegame. But that's then. This is now. I'm talking game collecting with Patrick. I'm going to cue some music. I don't know which one yet. Here it is. And I hope you guys enjoy this episode 60 of Remember the Game. Patrick and I are talking game collecting. Here we go. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Podcasting's a weird job because I talk to you nerds all the time. Every day, I tell you all about my life, the good and the bad. The ugly, I kind of keep that offline. And it's not that I don't want to talk about it. I'd love to talk about it. I just need to pick and choose who I talk to. We all have stuff that just lives in our minds, rent-free, 24/7. Talking about them can really help, because the longer you keep something bottled up, the more likely it is to blow. You've heard me say it before, and you're going to keep hearing me say it. Therapy is the way. Therapists can be that ear to bend when you really need to get something off your chest and don't know who to talk to. And BetterHelp is a great way to go about it. I don't BS you guys. I don't say I've used something if I've never used it. I've personally talked to a BetterHelp therapist about the stuff going on in my personal life, and I genuinely found it helpful. To have someone to talk to that doesn't have any skin in the game, that can just listen and try to help me come up with a roadmap to get through the tough times, it's just invaluable. It has seriously really helped me. I've talked to my therapist through video, and you can do it that way, or you can do it over the phone, or even just over chat. And they give you as many schedule options as possible so you can work a session in around your life. It's licensed therapy, as convenient as it gets. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/rememberthegame today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/rememberthegame. I need to come up with a more creative name for these episodes because, like, we've done a couple now. My buddy Miklos and I talked about the whole console wars of the 90s, Sega versus Nintendo. Yeah. And Mark McHugh and I talked about whether or not we wanted a Nintendo 64 and what would go on it. And honestly, both of those episodes were among our most downloaded.
Right.
So I'm hoping that people are enjoy this concept. We're going to try to do a few more of these because, frankly, I'm going to run out of games eventually if I don't try to switch it up once in a while. So my pal Patrick McGrath. Yeah. Mark McHugh, Patrick McGrath. One of the mix.
Mark's a cool guy. That's a good compliment.
Yeah,
Shout out to Mark.
Yeah.
Mark's a cool guy.
How are you, buddy?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm great. We're going to go off script a little bit today. We're not going to talk about a specific game. We're going to talk about all.
All games.
All games, I guess, in a way. We're going to talk about video game collecting. So, for the record, and I'll see where you are on this, I am a recovering video game collector.
We're in the exact same place.
Okay. So, I don't have a huge collection now, neither do you.
No.
But I do know the industry, at least I think I do. If you're a current collector listening to this, I'd be very interested in your feedback. Please feel free to leave it in comments if you're on YouTube or message me or reach out to us on Twitter and Instagram and stuff and let me know. And if you've never been a collector or if you're someone new to it or someone thinking about it, hopefully you get a little bit out of this anyways because we can steer you in a little bit of a way. So I'll ask you first and foremost, how come you don't collect anymore?
It's just a space issue. It's just too much stuff to have. So much physical media. And I have a strange thing about collecting. I'm a completist, so like I need... It just never ends, right? So in things where it's like the Super Nintendo has 741 some cartridges.
Right.
Like, it's awesome. When you see those all together, I've seen collections on Instagram and stuff. That's amazing. But it's just when you don't have all of it, it's a constant like, I need to buy it all the time. And this stuff is so expensive now. And you're just carting around, like moving from place to place. It's just too much stuff to take around.
Yeah.
And it just becomes like a money sink and just, and you can't play everything. So it's like, it's cool to look at and have, but I find as I get older, the appreciation is not there from people.
Yeah. And you know what, dude? Yeah. I think the getting older thing is a big part of
sure.
it. Yeah. You know, like, do you follow Pat the NES Punk at all?
No.
Do you know who that is?
No.
So he's a YouTuber. He's got a podcast, blah, 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 blah. I followed his career for years. But he has a complete NES collection. Like, complete.
Okay.
He's got Little Samson, Flintstones 2. He's got World Championships.
Right.
Like, he's got
everything.
Everything. I think he's got like three of them. I remember him saying online one time that he has three of them in a safety deposit box at a bank.
Like three full collections?
No, like three of the carts. Probably the World Championships
okay.
and something.
Okay, I see. Yeah, yeah.
Like the ones that are worth like thousands
right.
and thousands
yeah, like
of
that,
dollars.
Yeah.
But he's got a complete collection. And he's about our age. I think he's late 30s.
Okay. Yeah.
And I still follow him. I still watch his YouTube stuff and listen to some of his podcasts. And sometimes he'll answer questions from people. And one of the questions was like, where are you going now? Or something mm-hmm. like that. And he said, he's like, the day is going to come where I'm going to sell some of this stuff.
Yeah.
Because it's not just the NES collects for clicks for everything.
Right.
NES is just the one he's got everything for.
Yeah.
But he's like, it hits a point where he's like, do I want to be the 50-year-old guy who's known for nothing except collecting and talking about video games?
Right.
And I, dude, like, how old are you, Patrick?
I'm 31.
So we're in the same group. I'm 35. Like, my passion for video games has never gone away.
No.
I go through ups and downs. Like, I went through a phase in my 20s where all I played was like sports games. I didn't really
sure.
play anything else.
Yeah.
But I've always just loved video games. Mm-hmm. But same, yeah, like I have a mortgage now. I have bills to pay.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, how old were you when you collected?
So I started pretty young. So I really liked, I was always proud of the way I did this. So the way it started for me is, when the Super Nintendo was starting to get phased out and the PlayStation 1 started coming out.
Yeah.
I didn't get one right away. I was still playing Super Nintendo. All my friends were talking about PlayStation 1. So what I started doing is I said, well, hey, like, if you're not playing these old Super Nintendo games, can I just have them or buy them from you?
Right.
A lot of times my friends would be like, yeah, and they would just give me entire boxes of all their cartridges.
Yeah.
So I ended up with a shit ton of excellent games. I was really proud of the Super Nintendo collection I had. And I would just get all these games, and then from there I would just start buying and piecing. As I got older, I had this kind of base foundation. I would start buying games, and it just got easier and easier as the consoles went further and further. People would give me an entire Nintendo NES collection,
right?
And then you go from there and just like start building that way. I had early on, my parents bought us a TurboGrafx, so I had a TurboGrafx, which no one I knew had. So that was like part of it. It was like I had this piece that no one else I knew had, and then I started building and collecting Sega Genesis, Super Nintendo, NES games, PlayStation 1 games. And then I was working at EB Games at the time when that stuff started getting phased out too. So Game Boy cartridges, NES, Super Nintendo, PlayStation 1, they all became very cheap. They were almost giving them away. And I used to do things where when people would bring in NES games, when they stopped taking them, I would say, hey, like, we can't take these anymore, or they're worth 50 cents. I was like, I will just buy this collection from you personally.
Right.
And I would just work out deals with people. It's how I got, I have a really cool like NES Mario Luigi, like soft shell case for carrying it.
Sick.
And like stuff that you like got out of people's collections that like, we can't take this, but I will absolutely buy this from you. And so that really helped a lot, being exposed at the kind of right place, right time. I was able to get stuff very cheaply and in large amounts. Like I had two copies of Mario RPG and stuff, and like a lot of things that are now really highly sought after.
Yeah.
I had multiple copies of these things.
That's sick, yeah. Man. I had some of my collection from when I was a kid. Like, we never got rid of our games. Same thing. I had a NES, Super Nintendo, Nintendo 64, and then the PS1 was the first console I bought with my own money.
Yeah.
And then I still loved Nintendo, and I liked the Nintendo 64, but the PS1 kind of took, like, I loved playing sports games. Yeah. They had the best sports games.
Yeah.
And then like Final Fantasy 7 and shit like that. And then after that, like, kind of got more into sports games and got out of it for a while. But, when I got into collecting, I was in probably my mid-20s, with my girlfriend. We'd actually just started dating. And I just decided, this would be a cool thing to collect.
Yeah.
And like, honestly, at one point, like, my thought was like, I'm just going to collect a ton of video games over the next like 40 years. And then when I retire, I know what I'm going to be doing with my time. I'm going to be playing all these old video games.
Yeah.
Without realizing that, like, quite frankly, and as a retro gamer, I don't like to admit this, but like, a lot of those games have not aged well.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah,
particularly
for sure.
If you go back to the NES and
yeah.
stuff like that.
Yeah.
And they take up so much space, you know? And so when I was in my mid-20s, I had tons of disposable income. I had I had a car payment, my rent, and my cell phone bill.
Yeah.
And then I started to realize, like, I want to buy a house, and I got to start saving some money and stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because, dude, it's an expensive fucking hobby.
Yeah. And so my problem now is not, like, it's not that I'm just no longer a collector. It's just I've shifted interest. Like, I sold all my games and all my systems and everything. But now I just, like, I have comic books and I have toys and I have, like...
Right.
And like, at the same time as game collecting, I was also into DVD collecting, too. So I was, like, I had a huge collection of DVDs. And between DVDs and, like, physical copies of Nintendo games and jewel cases. And like, it's too much.
It's too much
to carry around. It's too much to find a place to store. And through my 20s, like in college, I was living in houses with other people. So I didn't have a whole house to like put it. I was living out of a bedroom. So like my bedroom would be like one wall unit is just crammed with stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's like, so two things primarily got me out of collecting. The first was just money.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is an expensive hobby and I just could use this money on other things. I'm like, I'm buying, dude, like, I don't know about yourself. You're probably the same way. Like, I had so many like NES games and Super that I never played.
Yeah.
I had never put them in they might not even have worked. I had no idea.
I would buy games. I'd go to pawn shops and I'd be like, okay, there's a ton of like $3 games. And I would just buy all of them, and you go home and play them. Like, these are all awful. These like bootleg fighting games, or just like whatever, like terrible side scrollers that you're like, these are unplayable. But I have it now, and cool, I guess.
Yeah, like, yeah, that was what it was. And I got to the point where I was like, why the fuck am I spending all my money and using the very little bit of space I have? Same thing. My girlfriend and I were renting a basement suite.
Yeah.
And so we had our bedroom, and then the spare bedroom was my room. And I had a TV in there and then a ton of old video games. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I just have no room for this. I have no money for this.
Yeah.
And so I sold it. And I don't regret it, but I kept one thing, and that was my Super Nintendo and the collection of games I had as a kid. And then I slowly added to that. And dude, like, my buddy Chris kind of gave me shit for it because I finally sold it about 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And I had a Super Nintendo with like Earthbound, Mario RPG, like Super Metroid, yeah. Link to the Past, basically just the creme de la creme,
the triple A's.
Yeah. And I sold the whole thing for about $1,000.
Wow.
My collection. And the reason I sold it was legitimately because that was when I sold it when they announced Earthbound on the virtual console.
Right.
Because forever Earthbound would not get released on the virtual console, and Earthbound is one of my favorite video games of all time. And I knew that a cart is a couple $100. It's fucking gone. It's insane right now to buy Earthbound. Although it's gone down since it started getting released everywhere. And so I was like, I'm not going to sell this because I know I'm going to want to play this again someday. And I'm not going to drop fucking hundreds of dollars to get my hands on it. But once it became available on virtual console, and listen, just for the record, and we'll get into this maybe in a little bit, but I know there are people listening to this being like, just get a Raspberry Pi and download one. That's not the point, okay? Yeah. Fuck off. Fuck off. I'll stand by that. Once I could get Earthbound, that was the one game that was keeping me invested. And once I could get my hands on Earthbound, I was like, all right. And then I sold everything. And I don't really regret it. I mean, I miss having the games I owned as a kid.
Right.
But like, dude, I'm pointing at my shelf right now. I guess you guys can't see that. I have an SNES Classic right there. Even without hacking it.
It has enough on there.
It's got 20 phenomenal games on it. And I'm like, and it takes up no space.
Yeah.
No, it's fucking a one-time investment of like $100. I'm not shitting on people that collect because I get the passion of it. I love it. Part of me would love to collect again.
I love seeing, my Instagram is filled with collectors. Like, I love seeing collections and like not just collections of games, but all the other merchandise that goes along with it. People that still have boxed art, you know, all the little things that Nintendo released and all these companies, like TVs and things, just little accessories. Or some people will get, they'll collect like Toys R Us displays from and that stuff's awesome. I would probably still have my Super Nintendo. I ended up, that was the one thing I didn't sell. I lent to a friend at the end of high school, and he moved across country and took it with him. And so that's the one thing that I'm like, if I had that, I probably wouldn't have gotten rid of that one.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I'm like, it's kind of like I have that attachment of like, I never really got finished with that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that was taken from me. And so I don't have like, there's no regret. Like, I regret lending it, but, you know, you kind of let go of it at some point. And that's what made it easier to sell off everything else. Because you're like, I don't have as much attachment to an NES, to selling off this stuff. But,
yeah, no, that sucks. Yeah. That fucking sucks. I don't know, man. Collecting them is cool. It just, like, I've repeated it, but like, it's a ton of money for a lot of space for a lot of bad games. And like, and so honestly, that's kind of, and the other thing is like, if you don't have a direction, which honestly was a problem I had when I collected, I had no sense of direction. I just bought anything I saw.
Yeah, me too.
And dude, it can get out of hand.
It does.
Really fast because there is a ton to fucking collect,
when collecting stopped being fun is I had the realization, it's like, I'm not really attached. Like, I like the games, but am I just attached to the physical cartridge of this? Because that became very easy to alleviate. You're like, well, I don't really need these cartridges taking up all this space. They're not mounted in any way that it shows the artwork. Like, they're just stacked haphazardly in a lot of places. And so it stopped being like, okay, if it's the games I'm attached to, like, I'm a ROM guy. Like, I have no problem. You can easily, illegally find an entire collection of 700 Super Nintendo games.
Yep.
Every computer I have has some form of emulator. When I was in high school, I put a Nintendo emulator with a bunch of games into a hidden folder on the server of the computer. So any computer I logged into in high school, I could access this Nintendo emulator and play from any computer in the school, which was like awesome. Because once I started doing that, and I was like, there really is no need for this physical. I lost the need for physical. I totally understand the need for collecting and the desire to have physical properties. Like, I collect comic books now, and it's very easy to just buy digital comic books. You can get a subscription, you can have all the comic books you want, but I physically love like seeing a long box full of comics, being able to pick it up and look at it and appreciate like this is how it was made originally and meant to be enjoyed from the beginning.
Sure.
And so I definitely appreciate that. But like with the release of Super Nintendo Classics and stuff like that, like there just is, for me, no more need to have all of that big collection anymore.
No, I get that, dude.
I still collect Game Boy games, though. Like, I still have a little piece of it where I have a custom painted and made Game Boy, and I still collect Game Boy games. Like, that's the only thing, but that's easily, like, it's really easy to boil that down to, like, it's one carrying case right now, you know.
Yeah, you can put it in a drawer.
It's very easy to store. Game Boy games.
Yeah, it's because I agree, dude. I'm pretty much digital with everything.
Yeah.
Like, I have no CDs. I know a lot of people don't anymore, but, like, I have no physical music. All my music's on my phone. I have no physical DVDs other than my Simpsons DVDs there that I'll probably get rid of when Disney Plus comes out and I can stream them.
Yeah.
I have very few physical video games. I prefer digital. I just like it. I don't know if it's, I think part of it is getting older. It's
convenience.
You know? Yeah. I read, like, I'm a bookworm. Mm-hmm. I fucking read probably a book and a half a week. And, I've started reading physical books again because I started at 35 years old. I remembered how cool the library can be for a reader. And so I started going to the library because I don't need to keep all these physical books here. Sure. I can read them and put them back. But other than that, I buy my books digitally on my iPad or on my Kindle.
I'm a big fan of Audible, like audiobooks.
Listening to them, right? Yeah. Like, but having said that, like, I adore looking at physical collections.
Oh,
like you
for
said,
sure.
I could, like, if you at Member the Game on Instagram, give us a follow. We'll follow you back. I follow a ton of collectors, and I love looking at their collections. Mm-hmm. Dude, it's so cool. And, like, and to me, there's something about preserving gaming history with that, too,
absolutely.
Right? Because, like, the Wii virtual console just shut down, like it's gone, like it's gone. And so anything you have on your Wii, I guess you have to play there until your Wii brick, because that was the thing, is when the Wii virtual console launched, like my Wii, I used it primarily as a virtual console. Like, I didn't play a lot of Wii games, but I had tons, hundreds of dollars of old games on there, and then my Wii bricked, and I lost all of everything.
That sucks.
And it does really suck. And the thing is like, that shit's probably gonna happen with all these
everything.
I have a Switch now, and to me the Switch,
nothing exists anymore. Everything's held on a server in a magic cloud.
Like, the Switch to me is tailor-made for digital gaming. And I know there are people that prefer the physical cards, which is cool. I get it.
Yeah.
But, like, to me, like, I like, dude, I have an SD card in my Switch to make it bigger.
Yep.
And I go on the road a lot for comedy, and I can take, I have 40 video games with me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I love it.
At the touch of a finger.
Yeah.
Like, even when I was in current gen console, I was digital. I was buying everything digital. Like, I wasn't going to stores anymore. I wasn't buying physical copies of games. Like,
on
Xbox and PlayStation, it was always buying stuff through the digital store.
Me
even
too.
On the Switch, like, I don't buy anything. Like, I have a few games that I bought, I think four, that I have physical. But I'm a big indie title fan, too, so it's the only place you can get a lot of those.
Yeah.
So it's really easy to browse the store. You find a few cheap indie games, and then you're like, okay, well, there's a AAA title.
Totally, I agree with that, because same thing, I love indie games.
Yeah.
But to me, that's one of the coolest things about collecting, and that would be if I ever got back into serious collecting, because I did recently buy a GameCube, and I've picked up a few games for the GameCube, because they're just not available anywhere, and I love these games. But if I was going to get back into collecting, and one of the reasons I like watching collectors is because they're preserving the history of a hobby that I love so much.
Yeah.
Because, like, what happens in 15 years when my Switch bricks and all those games are gone and there's no way for me to get my hands on
them
again?
We're just in a cycle of continually buying the same games over and
over. Totally, right? And the thing is, like, when you look at the NES, pardon me, or the SNES or the Sega Genesis, or even if you go, dude, look at, we're not even getting into obscure things like the Dreamcast or the Sega Saturn, where, like, those games aren't available fucking anywhere.
No,
NES games are available, but there's a very small percentage of that library that's available on a virtual console, you know?
You're at the mercy of whatever the companies want to give
us. And I'm a ROM guy as well now, you know? And, like, now, having said that, I'm a big believer in paying somebody for their work.
Sure.
And so, I never was big into downloading music illegally. I don't stream movies. If there's a way for me to buy a video game and give the company the money for it, I will.
Right.
But like, Nintendo doesn't release their goddamn games. No. And Sega, like, I bought the Sega collection and I will buy the Genesis Mini because it's a way for me to give money to the company that have their games. Mm-hmm. But a lot of them aren't available, so ROMs are the only way to go. Whereas if you want to spend the money and take up the space and build a physical collection, like, to me, the only reason to do that, because the money isn't going to the developers anymore.
No.
You could get the ROMs if you wanted to play them for free. The only reason to do that is either out of a passion for the hobby or to preserve gaming history.
Yeah.
And I have a ton of respect for that, and I think it's fucking awesome. I just don't have the bank account or space to do
it anymore. And that's what it comes down to, just other life priorities too.
Yeah. If you're hearing this, you're probably a gamer. And for our kind, nothing is as precious and valuable as our save files. Have you ever experienced the loss of a save file? It's soul-crushing. Dozens, maybe hundreds of hours of work gone like that. But at the end of the day, it's a video game. It matters, but kinda, you know? That exact scenario, but with a work project, an essay for school, data for your business, that's no joke. That can be really serious. You need a safety net. And I got you, fam, with my partners over at Crash Plan. Visit crashplan.com/RTG for 50% off your first year of Crash Plan. Crash Plan has been protecting people's data since 2001. And a couple years ago, they set out on their own with one mission: to provide the best damn cloud backup solution on the market. CrashPlan runs quietly in the background of your computer or Mac, and every 15 minutes on the clock, they create a new backup of every file that's changed in that time. So if something goes wrong, God forbid, you don't lose hours, lose days, lose weeks of work. Just log into your account and you can download your most recent backup from the secure cloud servers. And there's not just one backup. There's a laundry list of them. You can pick and choose which one you want. It's like the ultimate undo button. If you work on a computer in any capacity, CrashPlan is a must-have. And if you're thinking, that's for big businesses, I'm just Joe Schmo. CrashPlan protects Joe Schmo. They offer a ton of plans and tiers. So there's a CrashPlan for everyone, from small one-person businesses like me to you fancy businesses and offices with staff and free donuts and all that stuff. Time is money. Why wouldn't you protect your work? Spreadsheets, diagrams, videos, art, podcasts. CrashPlan has you covered. Don't let data disasters slow you down. CrashPlan has your back and keeps you moving. Go to crashplan.com/RTG for 50% off your first year of CrashPlan. That's crashplan.com/RTG for 50% off your first year. Back up better with CrashPlan.
And so when you talk about the bank thing, I wrote that down. One of the main reasons I got out was money. Okay. Yeah. Because like you said, dude, there was a point where people were coming to EB Games and you were picking up NES games for like on the cheap.
Yeah.
That shit doesn't happen anymore.
No. Like, I mean, so I didn't regret selling my stuff, because when I got rid of it is when Megan and I moved to Edmonton. So I was like, I'm going to get rid of all this stuff. We don't have to carry it around.
Right.
And then I got to a city that has game collecting stores everywhere, and now it's in my face everywhere I go, and I'm like, oh man, like, this is now when I start missing, where I'm like, oh. But you see, like, I had this game and I didn't pay $70, $80, $200 for it.
It's and I mean, it's not just video games. People just think that like everything old is worth a ton of money now, but like, the reason I bring up video games is because that's what I primarily know. Mm-hmm. It's fucking stupid, dude. There's stores now, and I don't give a fuck. I don't have any sponsors. I'm not gonna have sponsors on this fucking game.
Yeah.
You go into places like Game City. I don't know if those are across Canada. I know they're here in Edmonton and stuff, which is like a retro gaming store. And it's like, I'm not giving you fucking $30 for a copy of Mario Brothers 3 on the NES.
Yeah.
Get the fuck away from me. You know what I mean? And it's like, and they're clearly just trying to cash in on people that have nostalgia and want to do that stuff, right? But those games aren't worth that much.
And they're everywhere. I mean,
everywhere.
Everyone who had an NES had a copy of that game.
Everywhere. Yeah. You go to the flea market and there'll be a video game
seller.
And they'll always be stupid expensive.
Yeah.
And honestly, like, I was paying those prices for a little while when I got into collecting.
Yeah.
And then started to realize, like, this is fucking dumb.
Yeah.
You know, like, and I there's a YouTube channel I watch sometimes, the Game Chasers. Okay. And then these two dudes that collect video games.
Yeah.
And it's fun to watch, but they'll go to flea markets, they'll go to garage sales, things like that, looking for the cheap games. Because you can find them.
If you know what you're looking for, yeah.
But it's a hard thing to find now, right? Because more and more people just think they're sitting on gold.
Well, and also any person who's selling a game has access to Google right in their pocket.
Right.
So you can see what that's selling for. So the days of finding those deals, it's very few and far between now. Because anyone who's selling it, I mean, you go even to like a Value Village or something, like they know what stuff's worth. So instead of selling it at like affordable prices to people who can't necessarily afford to pay for it brand new, they'll just jack it up because they know, like, okay, well, somebody collector is going to come through and they're going to buy this thing, and yeah, we know what it's worth.
Yeah.
And that's crazy.
Oh, it's fucking ridiculous. So that to me is a big turnoff. And then when you expand that into the fact that there is so much to collect, you guys, I mean, I don't know what you're saying. Like, when I was collecting, I had an NES, a Super Nintendo, a Nintendo 64, a GameCube. I had a Sega Genesis, a Sega Dreamcast. I had a Game Gear and a Game Boy. And probably like my PS1 and stuff. And I was collecting for all of them.
Yeah.
And there's hundreds and hundreds of games for every title, and they're all fucking expensive.
Yeah.
The only ones you can find at any kind of a remotely reasonable price are old sports games. Yeah. And nobody wants those. No. You know what, yeah, I mean? Like, it's, yeah, like nobody cares about fucking,
those are always the
Madden 95. Yeah. Like, nobody,
yeah,
wants that.
Yeah.
Because quite frankly, if you want to play an old sports game, then like Tecmo, Super Bowl,
right,
and fucking ice hockey and shit, mm-hmm, still do it better.
Right.
You know, so you don't have to play those. I got completely in over my head. I was like, I can't afford to collect for seven systems at fucking $20-$30 a game, yeah, on each system when half the games suck.
Sure.
So yeah, if I, that's where I was going to go with this, is if I was going to give advice to someone that's thinking about getting into collecting, because the thing is like, something's worth what you're willing to pay. So I'm not going to sit here and shit on someone, yeah, that's willing to pay $30, mm-hmm, for Super Mario Brothers 3. I'm not.
Yeah.
Okay, it's free on my NES. It's on my NES collection. You can get it for $5 on like Super, yeah, on a 3DS and everything. If you want to get into collecting, my number one piece of advice as a recovering collector is focus on something.
Yeah,
focus. Don't try to do fucking everything.
Yeah,
because you will get in over your head, and it's fun for a little while, and then you just have a shelf full of crappy plastic. Yeah. Right. Pick your favorite. Either pick your favorite genre. Pick your favorite. I mean, first of all, and I'll ask you your opinion. My, if you were brand new to collecting, figure out the console you like the most and start with just that.
Yeah.
Like one, maybe two, but like try to focus. Don't buy every fucking system, yeah, at once. So like you said you still have your Game Boy,
yeah,
your Game Boy collection. Mm. I had my Super Nintendo for a long time. That's, yeah, my favorite system ever. Pick the console that you like the most. And then even then, don't go after everything right away. Start by collecting the games you like,
yeah,
the games you want to play. Because,
yeah,
if you don't, if you just buy up everything you can get your hands on, you will burn out and, yeah, you will quit because you're not even wanting to play the games you're spending all this money on.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not worth it being like a completist if you don't really have an appreciation for even the bad games.
Yeah.
It's not worth, because, yeah, you'll say like Turtles in Time for the Super Nintendo. At a minimum, you're spending $70 to $80 for that cartridge. It's loose. So you could buy that and you go, well, that's really expensive for the one game. It's one of the greatest games for that console.
Yeah.
But if you're going to buy, say, $7, $10 shitty games that you're never going to play, like, yeah, it adds up and you're like, well, okay, these are $5, you know, bin digs that you find somewhere. And they're all garbage, but, you know, you spent $30, $40. That could have gone towards a good copy of something else, yeah, you, dude, know?
And at the end of the day, like, I mean, I guess you're doing it for whatever reasons you want. But, like, to me, like, video games are fun. Like, that's, yeah, why I play them. That's why, yeah, I collected them. And it's like, dude, when I was collecting, like, on the PlayStation 1, I had, like, every year's NHL and every year's,
right,
you know what I mean? And I was like, yeah, what the fuck? I'm never going to do, yeah, this. This is all, and like you said, that's a great point, man. I could have fucking taken the $2 a piece I spent on all those,
yeah,
and bought Metal Gear Solid.
Yeah.
And have, like, dude, now I have a game I really want to, yeah, play. So, like, listen, like, if you want to get into collecting, forget the money, because that just comes down to what you're willing to pay for it. Mm-hmm. But, like, pick a focus, try to focus, and try to buy shit that you want to play.
Yeah,
at least
I think,
to start.
I think that's definitely what's happened to me now. Like, I still consider myself a collector of just different things now. So the things that I have, like, I focus down to having a Game Boy, or I collect comic books, but I only collect Daredevil comic books because that's my focus. That's what I really like. So,
right,
instead of just being like, I need to buy all of these comic books, even the ones I have an appreciation for, I don't do it, because I just become much more focused on, like, what it is I want.
Right. And the other thing is, like, as you get older, like, you have less time. Like, dude, yeah, I have less time to play video games, yeah, now than I fucking did when I was 24.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And so, like, I try to, that's why I sold my PS4 and my Xbox One, because, yeah, I was like, I'm playing too much.
Yeah.
And I just want to, like, now I have a Switch, I have my classic consoles, and then I just bought the GameCube. And for my GameCube, I have, like, right now, looking at my shelf, I have Mario Golf, Mario Kart, and Paper Mario.
Yeah.
And I'm only after another about half a dozen games.
Right.
And they're just my favorite games ever. because it's like, I only have a couple hours a day to just really sit down and have fun with these games. I don't want to waste it on a game I fucking hate. I want to play something fun. Yeah. So like, just collecting to me looks glamorous online. You see pictures of people's in gigantic collections, or you watch a video like Game Chasers or something, and you're like, dude, that looks cool. And it is cool.
It is.
But like, you will burn out and you will hate it if you don't focus and come up with some goals in a system. Yeah. You will. You did it. I fucking did it. And I don't regret having done it, but I wish I had that money back.
Sure.
To be honest with you, because there's no way I got the money for it.
No.
Don't buy everything. And dude, don't jump at the first copy of a game you see, because people are fucking charging stupid fucking prices. So if you like, dude, when you see Mario 3 for $30, if you want that game, if you're like, dude, I would rather have that than $30, then I don't fucking do it. But I'm telling you right now, don't just assume whatever somebody's charging is what it's worth, because it's fucking not.
No.
And I bet you prices start to go, if they haven't already, and maybe they have, I'm not into the scene right now. If they haven't started going down, they're going to. I would bet money they're going to, because they're just too readily available everywhere else now. You know?
They for sure haven't been going down. I'm like, anytime I walk by a Game City, I'm going in just to look to see, you know, every once in a while you might be able to, because there are still games that, if I see, like right now, I also collect, I have a Super Famicom. So I collect Japanese Super Nintendo games.
Okay.
And the reason I do that is because if any stores have copies of games, they don't sell. So they're usually much cheaper. So you can buy, I have a copies of Turtles in Time, and I bought it when I was in Japan, and it's much less expensive than buying the American version of it.
Sure.
It's just, they're not like, I've been to a few stores where I bought Street Fighter 2 in box and it was $10.
Right.
And because nobody, if they're sitting on it, nobody's buying it. It takes a very specific collector for that kind of stuff.
Right.
So in that way, my collection is much smaller because it's much more difficult to get games if you're not buying online and paying crazy shipping prices.
Right.
But when you do come across those gems, it's much more fun. So I'm always constantly going in stores and being like, do you have Super Famicom games?
Sure.
And then you end up looking at everything else, and the prices are, to me, they seem just as strong as ever.
They're like, stupid. But like,
especially PlayStation 2 games, like... I bought a PlayStation 2 last year just to, for a few. There's some really great titles on that. And some of the games is like $40, $50, $60. You're like, these are the cost of current gen games.
Yeah.
You know, and that's crazy.
Yeah, dude. See, the reason I think that prices are going to drop, if they haven't, and I think they, because I agree with you. I was in a games, when I bought my GameCube, I needed a power adapter. Yeah. So I went to a Game City and got one for like $15 or something. But I was looking at the games, so I was like, maybe I'll pick up a couple GameCube games. But I was like, get the fuck out of here. Like, I'm not giving you $18 for the World Series of Poker. Like, get the fuck away from me. Fuck, I hate Game City so much. And I hope you're listening to this. Fuck you. Fuck all of you. What was I going to say now? The reason I think prices eventually will go down is that people our age, people that are, focus demographic for this podcast is people around our age.
Yeah.
It's people in their late 20s to their, you know, early 40s type thing.
Right.
That grew up in the 80s and early 90s playing those games and stuff like that. And I bet you there's a lot of us that got into collecting at one point when you were in your 20s and had disposable income and more money and more time and stuff like that. And now you're like, I have less space, I have less time, I have less money, and these games are available everywhere. So the only reason to collect them is if you really are passionate about collecting them now, right?
The opposite side of the money argument too, though, is at a certain, you know, if people are smart, they have more money than they've ever had at these older ages, right? As you get better jobs and things like that.
Right.
There is also that, you know, like the dudes who have huge collections, some of them I'm like, I don't understand what it is you do for a living. Like,
yeah, I've thought that too.
Right? Like, you're like, you have everything, and not on top of just like everything, but you have like everything current too. Like, they're constantly buying like new games and stuff. What I really like is with my job now is I go into a lot of houses, and I love when I see like people with pinball machines or like old cabinet style arcade machines.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I know you have this because you have a really good job and it's, you can afford to have these. And that's collecting that I really like, you know,
man.
Like it's seeing like really old school stuff like that, where you're like, oh, you've got like vintage guitars, or you've got pinball machines, arcade machines, like that stuff. I'm like, that's the way to, like, that's what I always thought as a kid. I'm like, when I have a job where I have lots of money, I'm going to buy arcade machines. That's going to be what I'm going to collect. I'm going to have a room that's just arcade machines.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. I've wanted a Ms. Pac-Man arcade machine since
Turtles
I was about
time,
10.
Man.
Dude, have you seen the new, the arcade one?
I saw that one. Oh,
I was saying to Shaley, I was like, dude, that would fit in here.
Yeah.
I was like, I could move that little box. It would fit, but it's like $500 Canadian.
That's it?
Something like that. It's like three, I think it's, I want to say it was $350 American.
Is it a full size?
No, it's like like two thirds.
Okay.
So I'll see. Because yeah, like it's I'm like as I'm sitting here saying, don't spend a lot of money, don't take up a lot of space. I'm like, well, maybe I'll do both of those things.
Yeah.
I love arcade machines too, but like again, that's to me that's preserving gaming history, and that's something that you I could go play an arcade game, but it's different to play it on the actual arcade stand up, which is actually something else I had written down. That's I guess another reason to collect. Is that some people just prefer to play it on the original hardware.
I do. I absolutely understand that. For me, like, the one thing ROMs are missing is good controllers. So you can buy USB controllers. I have a multitude of USB N64, USB Super Nintendo controllers, but they don't feel the same way. They're made so cheaply that it's upsetting.
Yeah, I have one right there, a Super Nintendo one, and it kind
of
sucks.
They're awful, So when you get the feel of, like, that's what I really liked about the NES Classic or the SNES Classic is the controller feels the way it should feel and it plays and responds the way it should respond. And so that, you know, that's the one thing I'm missing in what I, you know, playing now. And it's not the same to remap it to an Xbox controller or to play on a keyboard.
No, it's not.
It's not as
it's
fun.
It's not. So, I never thought to make that argument earlier, but I could get behind that. People just want to play it on the original hardware. Mm-hmm. But to me, the counter argument to that, and as I consider myself a pretty passionate retro gamer, there are going to be traditionalists listening to this that are going to give me shit.
Sure.
I like save states. And I know that, I grew up in the era. I know that you beat a game or you start over if you died. I don't have that kind of time, that kind of patience now. Sure. I want to play more. Now that I'm paying my power bill, I don't have interest in leaving a fucking console on for 2 days with the light covered
it is
so my mom
nice
doesn't know.
With the limited time is to like play a game, be able to stop right in the middle of it, save state, and then come back to exactly that spot.
Yeah. So that to me at the end of the day is it all comes down to that, like, and I never even thought of it till we started talking about this, but to me it all came down to when Earthbound became available as a download. And I was like, all right, I'm fucking done with these physical cartridges. I could use this money on something else.
Yeah.
It's taking up space. And I really, really like having save states. Just I don't even care. Call me a pussy. Dude, my Let's Play series is called Adam Sucks at Video Games. I suck. I don't fucking care. I don't know. I guess to me that's, but the arcade machines are fucking dope.
Right.
I agree with that.
So I don't want this whole thing, like, we spent a lot of time kind of shitting on how expensive and crazy collecting is, but like, I don't want people to stop collecting. Like,
no.
I love that people are still there. It's just not right for me anymore.
No.
But, and it's not, like I said, like, it's not like I've stopped collecting. I've changed interests and directions of what I do collect.
Yeah.
It's not like I'm like, collecting's so expensive and I'm older and smarter with my money. It's like, no, I'm still bad with money. I'm just it in a different focus.
In a different way. Yeah. I agree with that 100%. I'm to a point because I collected sports memorabilia for a long time too. And I sold most of my sports memorabilia collection. We moved into our smaller house now. And I spent a lot of that money. We went on a trip to Vegas with it. And I had no regrets. I had so much fun.
Yeah. As I get older, when Meg and I went to Japan, I started to value memories more than like physical things.
Experiences.
So trillion that's, percent.
Having said that, like you said, dude, like Patrick said, if you collect, if you want to collect, if you're thinking about getting into it, like do it. Like it's just don't do it for the wrong hobby or for the wrong reasons. Okay. And I wanted to say that don't do it just so you can post pictures of your fucking collection on Instagram.
Yeah.
Cause as much as people like us think those collections are cool, like you're going to regret it. Like do it because you're passionate about it and listen, this is like actually my number one piece of advice, even more than finding a focus and everything. Do not go into debt to collect anything, particularly video games, okay? Because I at a time where I was putting games on, I'd go on eBay and see a lot and just be like, oh, fuck yeah, and just put $100 on my credit card to fucking buy this lot and stuff like that. Don't do that. You should not be going into any debt to fucking fund this hobby, okay? The games will be there, okay? Like, I'm not saying go into debt to play current games, but I can understand how, like, if a game is coming out next week that you really want to play, it's brand new, and you're like, I don't want to see spoilers. It's brand new. I've been waiting for it. Put the $80 on your credit card and pay it off and play your game. You know what I mean? But, like, those vintage games are always going to be there. With eBay and Kijiji and the internet now to buy shit on, they will always be accessible. So if you really want one, save up your money and then buy it. Do not just run up your credit card buying these fucking old video games. Like idiots, like I fucking did, because you will regret it. It's not worth it. Just enjoy the hobby, but don't let the hobby take over your life.
Yeah,
you know, and fuck off with your Raspberry Pis. Do you have any of those?
No, I don't. But I have friends who have them.
They're pretty rad.
I just have emulators on my computer, so I have essentially that. I just Yeah. And but like, I mean, those are awesome. I really like, you know, like MAME arcade cabinets and stuff. Like, sure. I have no problem if you're putting Raspberry Pis into an old school cabinet and building like the, you know, actual joystick controllers and stuff. That's awesome. I got no problem with that.
No, I have no beef with that too. Like I said, when I say fuck off Raspberry Pis, I'm just joking. I'm just trying to get a reaction from you guys. They're fine. ROMs are totally cool. Just like, if there's a way for you to support the business that made those games, then do it.
I agree with that currently. But with old games, it's like they've made their money.
Totally. Yeah. Like Turtles in Time.
Steal everything.
Right. Like Turtles in Time, there's no way for me to get my hands on that.
Sure.
Legally. I mean, I guess there will be with a fucking $500 arcade machine. Yeah. But like, yeah.
You can also buy an original $2,000 arcade machine.
Yeah, right? So I have an SNES Classic over there with Turtles in Time on it. And I'm like, I'm sorry, dude, but I've given you my money. Like, you fucking have had, you've made my money.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So... Okay, well, I don't know. I hope you guys enjoyed this. We're going to do a few more of these. It's going to be every couple of months. I'm probably going to drop a discussion one because, like I said, there's only so many video games out there for me to talk about. Patrick, good shit, buddy. Thank you for doing
thanks,
this.
Thanks, man.
And you guys, if you want to get into collecting, just start slow. Take your time. Have fun with it. That's the whole point of playing video games, is to have fun. Don't get into it to try to get rich, because I promise you, you fucking won't. I promise you, you won't. Yeah, any closing thoughts?
Collecting rules.
Collecting rules. All right. Yeah. All right. I'll give you 8 out of 10. 8 out of 10.
8 out of 10.
Good stuff, buddy. Thanks for doing this.
Thanks, man. Thanks.
That's going to do it for this week's episode. Patrick, thanks for coming over, talking game collecting with me, and to all you geeks, thanks for listening to us geek out. You guys, if you enjoyed the show, follow us on the social media, Twitter or Instagram. We're at Remember the Game, or you can find us at facebook.com/rememberthegame, YouTube, Remember the Game, and most importantly, patreon.com/rememberthegame. Please consider it. My listenership's going up. The Patreon isn't. It's okay. I'm so humbled and appreciative of everyone that's already on there. The bigger it gets, the better prizes I can give away. That's my hope here, okay? It's $2 a month is all I'm asking. I'll give you a ton of great stuff. patreon.com/rememberthegame. Specifically, let me know what you thought of this episode. If you guys want more, I don't know what the word I'm looking for is, like editorial, conversational episodes. I want to do more of them, and I'm curious to know if there's specific topics you're interested in. Speaking of topics, don't forget to submit your questions, topics, concerns, whatever you have to do, you want me to talk about for the rambling episode that's coming next week, to Patreon subscribers. And finally, leave us a good review, please. If you enjoyed it on iTunes, stuff like that. I don't know what it accomplishes, but I'm being told to ask for them, so that's what I'm doing. Good enough, you guys. Thanks for listening. I will be back again on Monday with your next Patreon episode, and I will be back again on next Wednesday with episode 61 of Remember the Game. In the meantime, go play some video games, go be nerds, don't go outside, the sun is hot, you'll get burned, stay inside where it's safe, and save the world and all that good stuff. I'll talk to you again in a few days. Take it easy, guys. Cheers.